Good morning. I want to tell you what a privilege it is to be a part of this congregation and to be able to share some thoughts with you that maybe represent what we're all about and what we can be all about. And so before we get into the actual message, I want to do, as David would do, to do a warm-up on it. Our passage comes today from Matthew chapter 22, 34 through 40. And it contains two commandments. And interestingly, these two commandments have their origin in the Old Testament. The first is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. We're told to love the Lord with all of our hearts, soul, and mind. And the writer in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, instructs us to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, in the New Testament, Matthew repeats these two commandments, as do Luke and Mark. And within these three books, we're made aware of the issues. It was kind of political. We're aware of the conflicts between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And it would be a little bit like conflicts between the Republicans and the Democrats. And I'm not going to ask for any input on that. In Luke, the setup is there for the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we see Luke affirming that it's the love of God and neighbor, love of God and neighbor, that ultimately matters. And Luke answers the question posed to him by a lawyer by affirming the love of God, the love of neighbor, and the love of self. And that love of self is critical. In Matthew, we're told that it's upon these two commandments, which appear in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, that are the law. Beth.
From Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Well, as we join together on Pentecost, and it's great to see all the red shirts out there, we remember that this is the birthday of the church. So let's consider, in addition to our Matthew words, these words from Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I'd like to suggest that being filled with the Holy Spirit does not give us permission to be bystanders. Notice in our prayer there's mention there of spiritual bystanders. We don't have permission to do that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just the opposite. So what does that mean? Well, social psychologists have identified a concept known as the bystander effect, also known as bystander apathy. And it's a concept that are covered in psychology classes, in intro classes and social psychology classes. It's a concept that evolved years ago, back in the early 60s, when a vicious crime was committed and nobody called for help. They didn't want to get involved. It's a little bit scary. And so, and at the same time, students will say, well, that was then. I'm not a bystander. I'd get involved. Interestingly, it was back then that the 911 process was initiated, because that simply makes it easier to call and to get some help. So what is the bystander effect? As I said, it's also known as bystander apathy, and it's a phenomenon referred to when people avoid acting on behalf of someone they don't know, someone who needs help or who needs assistance, but people don't want to get involved. Diffusion of responsibility is a concept that evolved out of the bystander effect, and that simply means that maybe we want to help, but if we see several other people observing an incident, we just assume that others have already helped. Somebody else has made the call. Somebody else is rendering assistance. The help is on the way. Now, that's not to say that people don't help. Certainly people do help. I've had a flat tire, haven't you? And I can recall being parked by the side of the road with this flat tire and thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And the car stops and somebody gets out and says, can I help? You bet you can. That certainly would be wonderful. However, it's also apparent that after somebody has stopped to help, other cars go on. They don't stop. This is the diffusion of responsibility. Now, there are other instances of receiving help. They're numerous. We can all think of several. And generally, this refers to some specific, tangible need. It usually isn't related to spirituality. And so this leads me to consider a spiritual bystander. A spiritual bystander, also known as spiritual apathy. It's having a lack of concern for spiritual growth within our communities. It can also be identified as or defined as indifference. And that can lead us to minimize what we do spiritually for other people, both within the church and within the larger community. Now, I offer this information merely to illustrate the concept of not getting involved by not offering help both physically and spiritually. Now, sometimes we have a problem with giving help to strangers, and that's something that each one of us has to address within ourselves. Think of the Good Samaritan and the opposite practice, which might be referred to as bad Samaritanism. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But let's don't dwell on that. In fact, here at the Fountains, I don't think we have a bystander problem within our church facility or our church family as far as offering tangible help is concerned. We just need to look at the number of ways available for us to serve. Think about the opportunities that we have for service, and you have to help me. What are some of the opportunities that we have to serve in this church? I'm waiting. Providing food for Watkins, okay. What else? What do you say, Carol? The extended hands. Okay. What else? Okay. The mission of the kids? The prayer shawl ministry? What? The socks? Mm-hmm. What else? Fred? Bible school? Yeah. What? The Stephen ministry? That's a big one. Yeah. Yeah. Choir? What else? The power of prayer. It is. That's wonderful. And we all know that prayer does work in our lives. Well, the list goes on and on. We could spend all morning identifying ways that we're able to help. So let's consider that. The folks that have benefited from these services have not experienced neglect from our church family. And I think that it's significant that folks who are church shopping often comment on how warm and friendly this congregation is. What I propose today, however, is that we leave feeling challenged to do more for ourselves. To do more for ourselves. We sometimes become indifferent to our own spiritual needs. We're usually quick to address our physical needs. We see to it that we're fed and that we have water and that we get the sleep that we need, but often we ignore our spiritual needs. Sure, we pray, we go through the motions, we go to church on Sunday, we participate in churchy events, But do we really tend to our personal spiritual needs? We need to give ourselves the love that we give to our brothers and sisters in this congregation. Today, I suggest that we address a concept that I'm calling the personal spirituality bystander. Okay, what is that? Well, there was a blog post that I ran across recently that said, it was titled, A Quantum Leap Towards Spirituality. And it defines spirituality, listen carefully, it defines spirituality as goodness to oneself and to others. And the writer states that, quote, humanity is taking a quantum leap beyond the religions of the world, and emerging from this quantum leap is a universal spirituality. And I think the operative words there are goodness to self. Spirituality is a concept that transcends theological and denominational borders of all religions. We may differ theologically, but it seems that what we can all have in common throughout the world is spirituality, which represents goodness to self and to others. Remember, Jesus reminded us, love your neighbor as, with a little more enthusiasm, please. Love your neighbor. Right on. Yeah. Well, sometimes we forget about the self-love thing. We forget about it, and that's unfortunate. I suggest that goodness to self is necessary if we are to overcome spiritual bystander apathy, which may cause us to give less than we could to our church and our community, particularly people we don't know. Note, and get this, self-love is not to be equated to selfishness. Now, we can all remember our parents telling us, don't be selfish. My brother's here this morning. Didn't Mom and Dad tell us not to be selfish? But they didn't tell us not to love ourselves. They didn't tell us not to love ourselves. Self-love is an acknowledgement of the Spirit who dwells within us, who we call God. Recently departed and wonderful poet, activist, writer Maya Angelou said, "Nothing can dim the light which shines from within." Nothing can dim the light which shines from within. If we honor this inner force, we can recognize the depths of our spirit and our deepest core values. And this keeps us from being indifferent to ourselves and from being indifferent to our spiritual needs. When we identify and we look at our core values, we can see that there's something deep within us that says we are valuable and lovable. And this value and love we share with one another, we should also give it to ourselves. Many of us receive a daily email called the Daily Om. Did I say that right, Karen? Okay, all right. A recent post deals with taking time for wellness. And the writer says, a beautiful gift to yourself is a day of healing and nourishing. And she makes the point that we all carry within ourselves the seeds of healing. She further states that a sincere desire to open ourselves to the highest realities of our physical and spiritual selves is the key to self-healing, so that healing energy can flow into us unimpeded. And we let that energy in if we love ourselves and care enough about ourselves to seek healing. And I think this relates to concepts included in one of the newer branches of psychology, which is the field of positive psychology. It fits within the group of psychological disciplines which looks at healthy behavior rather than dysfunctional behavior, which is such a prominent force within good old Freud and Freudian psychology. It focuses on helping folks prosper and lead healthy and happy lives because self-care, therefore self-love, lies within us. Why is this significant? Because it promotes goodness to self. It looks at positive emotions, positive traits, positive institutions. And in the 1950s, many prominent thinkers in psychology began refocusing psychology more on theories that emphasize happiness and the positive aspects of human behavior. And this can work when we acknowledge the role of goodness of self in our lives. What am I holding up here? A glass of water. That's right. How much do you think this water weighs? How much?
Half a pound.
Half a pound? Any other guesses?
6.
Oh, Roy, you're so good. I really don't know what it weighs, and that really doesn't matter all that much. What happens to me if I hold it for just a few seconds? For just a few seconds, no big deal. What happens if I hold it for an hour? Okay, people, weigh in here. It gets more than heavy. It's already feeling pretty heavy. What happens if I hold it all day long? What? I'm going to have to drink some of it. And there are those that wonder if it's really water that's in here. Yeah. If I hold it all day long, my arm is probably going to become paralyzed. Would you agree that that's a very real probability? So what do I do? Oh. All right, I'll do both. Thank you, Jackie. That helped. And I did not prime her to do that, to say that. You put the glass down. Now, the point is that life's problems, life's issues are something like this. We can hold them for a few minutes in our head and they seem okay. We can handle it. If we think of them for a long time, we begin to get tired. They begin to ache. And if we hold them even longer, they begin to paralyze us. And we're not able to do anything. So what should we do? Put the glass down. And that certainly is true with the challenges that we have in our lives, with the problems we have in our lives. Yeah, we think about the challenges. We look at ways that we can deal with them. But at the end of the day, if we're going to get a decent night's sleep, we've got to put the glass down. And you're sitting there saying, right, easier said than done. Yes, I know it is. It definitely is easier said than done. But we have to make the commitment to ourselves because we love ourselves enough to put the glass down. So, if we want to incorporate goodness of self into our lives, we must care enough about ourselves to put the glass down. Next, we have to care enough about ourselves to recognize that we are lovable and capable. Thank you, Fred. I'm lovable and capable. Can you all see that? I tried to make it as big as I could. I'm lovable and capable. Well, think about being a little kid. You wake up in the morning. I want this one instead. You wake up in the morning. You get dressed. You go out to the kitchen hoping you're going to have a decent breakfast. And what does Mom do? Says, that shirt's dirty. Take it off and get something clean. So the kid obediently goes and he takes the shirt off and he puts on something clean, but it doesn't match. He goes back out to the kitchen and Dad says, are you nuts? You can't go to school looking like that. How lovable is the kid beginning to feel? He gets on a school bus. When was the last time you rode on a school bus? The school bus bully taunted him, told him he was stupid. He gets to school. Teacher says, "Your homework was horrible." That reminds me of a French teacher I had in college who called me an imbecile, and he did it in French. Sadly, I understood what he was saying. He goes out on the playground, nobody wants to play with him. Do you get the drift? Sometimes negativity enters into our lives, and it's impossible for us to feel lovable and capable because of all the negativity. Well, in lots of aspects of our lives, we feel that negativity imposed upon us. And we begin to generalize it to our whole lives. We begin to believe it. And so it becomes critically important for us to reject the negativity and recognize our lovability and our capability. So, first of all, we have to remember to put the glass down. Second, we have to acknowledge that we are lovable and capable. And third, got some slides in there I didn't mean to have there. Third, we have to acknowledge and accept the commandment passed on to us by Jesus to love our neighbors as ourselves. If we acknowledge that the Spirit of God lives within us, then we can acknowledge our personal spirituality. Our only rational choice is to practice goodness of self, and this means self-love. Many times we open our prayers in this service with gracious and loving spirit. Well, if we practice self-love, then we'll be gracious and loving to ourselves because we know that the Spirit lives within us, and therefore we can practice love for our neighbors. We'll care enough about ourselves to put the glass down when we're weary and stressed. If we practice self-love, then we'll acknowledge our basic and inherent worth, and we'll recognize that we're lovable and capable, and we can then acknowledge the inherent worth of all humans. Several of you wear the t-shirt that says, "Praise well with others." That's where it gets into looking at the humanity of all people. If we acknowledge the inherent worth of all humans, I believe that this would break us out of our personal spiritual apathy, and we can acknowledge that inherent, gracious, and loving spirit in others. And we can follow the directions in Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, or with all your mind. And we can follow the law spelled out in Leviticus. Love your neighbor as yourself. And these commandments are the ones that are spelled out in our scripture from Matthew. Jesus simply put the law into a context that we should all recognize and honor. Love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. And so that brings me to our stream of thought. And again, I call upon Maya Angelou. She said, "Listen to yourself, and in that quietude, you might hear the voice of God." And I believe that her words represent the ultimate in personal spirituality. How do we listen to ourselves? We can take a little time each day for intentional reflection. We can go through a guided meditation. We can put on a headset and listen to calming and soothing music. We can go out here and walk the labyrinth. We can look for all of those times when we can put the glass down. We can acknowledge that we are lovable and capable. And we can practice without apology the commandment to love ourselves, because that allows us to love our neighbor. Listen to yourself, and in that quietude, you might hear the voice of God.